Welcome back to Arts Alive, the podcast of the St. Pete Catalyst. My name is Bill DeYoung. I'm doing my radio announcer voice, and I can see my guests laughing across the table already. They are Alsace Wallentine and Candace Anderson. Hello.
Hello.
Hi,
how you doing, Bill?
You guys are the proprietor of Tombolow Books Proprietors, and there's lots to talk about. Just past 4 years in brick and mortar, I believe. Mm-hmm. And just in an all-in-all sense to get us started, how's business?
It's great.
Business is great. I can't believe it's been 4 years. Business is wonderful. It's 4 years, and I'm blown away by that fact.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because I think the last time you and I, we've all talked off and on a lot, but the last time in depth mm-hmm. was probably during the pandemic when we did those video Zoom interviews
right.
when you were out delivering books by car and by bicycle mm-hmm. with your masks on. So there's a lot of things to talk about. With regard to independent bookstores and in this country and in St. Petersburg, I think one of the things that's most profound for me was that when you opened in December 2019, the pandemic arrives in March, and that pretty much must have sucked for a new business. That's when we lost Haslam Books. To mm-hmm. date, you know, we don't know what's going on over there, but yeah. Doesn't look like they're coming back. Is that kind of a cosmic shift or something? Like, look at that. Just when this one's leaving, you guys are coming in. I mean, do people talk to you about Haslam's all the time?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, given our location, you know, around the corner from their bookstore, folks come in, especially early on. So like as you referred to, we opened our brick and mortar in December of 2019. Mm-hmm. Everybody shut down 90 days later for the stay-at-home order, including Haslam's. So in some sense, it's hard for us, and we talk about this a lot, to separate the shift, like all the things that were happening at once for us. We were still getting our feet under us in the brick and mortar. And then, of course, we shut down for COVID, and it was just a couple years that it took for us to kind of reassess and really get to where we are now, where we feel like we understand our rhythm. So it's kind of hard to understand, you know, the alternate reality of what we envisioned of, you know, being so near Haslam's, which we felt like we had the potential to create a real synergy.
I remember that discussion.
Yeah, because yeah. there's so much having a bookstore that carries used books so nearby. We certainly get a lot of inquiries from people who had been coming down for years with their families for vacations and holidays, and they yeah. would want to know what happened with Haslam's. And that's a question we can't answer, of course.
Right, right.
We're certainly very happy to be in the Grand Central.
Tombolow Books is what, 1,600 square feet?
The whole square footage, I think, is 1,550.
Okay, so it's not exactly Haslam's eyes. I mean, it's essentially, I don't want to say a hole in the wall, but it's essentially, because it's a very beautiful hole in the wall, but it's intimate, mm-hmm. you know? Was that discouraging in the beginning? Like, I wish we had a little more space here.
When we first wrote our initial business plan, it was meant to be more like 2,000 square feet, mm-hmm. but the size that it is worked with our numbers and what we were projecting to do, and the location was just fantastic, mm-hmm. so we were very happy moving in there, and we love it. It's a very efficient square footage.
It's a tight squeeze, but there's always something, going on in every inch of the place, mm-hmm. which is fantastic. Any plans for expansion at this point? Like, oh, when, you know, this happens or that, we don't, you know, is there anywhere to go?
One dreams of having a little more room for nothing our to talk events, about. Et cetera. But again, we love where we are now.
Are you guys from Asheville?
Not originally.
Is that where you met?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you were at Malaprops, mm-hmm. okay, and you were on the road selling vegetable seeds or something?
When we were in Asheville, I was actually, I was working at an agricultural research station. I had a career in tomato breeding and veg. It's so funny to talk about now. Like, I can go on forever, Bill. But yeah, I
love a good vegetable.
Yeah,
I was in
a completely different field, if you will, quite literally.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So she's in the bookstore. Did you guys get married up there? Or was that when you came down here?
We did get married in Asheville.
Okay. So mm-hmm. you married the woman in the bookstore.
Yeah, I did that on purpose.
Well, that's what I mean.
I hope so.
Were you a customer? I'm prying a little bit. Were you a customer at Malaprops?
I was a frequenter of Malaprops bookstore.
It is where we met.
And a frequent volunteer. I would do the same things I do here. I'd break down chairs and get it set up for events. And yeah.
So what was it that necessitated the move down here for the two of you? This was in 2015, I want to say.
Well, Candace moved before I did. She relocated for work, actually. Right. I stayed up there, but came down here every month, fell in love with St. Pete, felt like maybe this is what we should do, open a store here. So it came together like that.
Tell me about Malaprops, Alsace, because, you know, the way it just sounds like the coolest indie bookstore. I forget who it was that said this is Asheville in a microcosm right here.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Oh, Malaprops is wonderful. It opened in 1982. My mentor had grown up in Hungary and moved to the U.S. when she was 17 and started working in bookstores. And she eventually opened her own shop. I started working there in 1999, I believe, until 2015. And it's all of Asheville, grew up around that bookstore. Mm-hmm. So it's really the hub of the community. You need a bookstore and a bakery, and then you've got a good city, I think.
A good community independent bookstore is really an invaluable, asset. To a city. I mean, it was a sort of like Floyd's Barbershop where everybody goes to get information and
it's true.
It's where all the cool kids hang out.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing, including Candace, apparently.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So, when you decided to move down here, I remember you telling me this. You went to the greenhouse to figure out how to do a business plan and all that stuff, but was it already in your mind, I'm going to move down there and start a bookstore. We're going to do this together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the idea.
So Candace moved before I did for her job.
Right.
But and we weren't sure if she was going to stay down here or what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, we were being risky and experimental. Mm-hmm. And
I like that. I can do that.
But but I moved down here because we said, yes, we're going to open a store.
So that was it. Was that 2015?
Or that was 2015.
Okay. That's in my head. It's floating around that was a key date.
It was 2015. And I said, oh, I'll do it in 1 year. And that was ridiculous.
Well, you, you come up in my kind of sphere of consciousness when Tombolo was a pop-up, when you would be like, they're over here today, next month they're over here. What's the logic behind that as a business enterprise?
Oh my goodness. The pop-up logic?
Yeah.
Well, that was not the original plan, but since I realized, writing a business plan for a successful bookstore takes me more than 1 year, I needed to get going, you know? So we thought, let's just start really, really tiny and see if people buy into this idea.
Oh, yeah.
It was also a really great way, you know, because we were newbies here, and St. Pete didn't know us, and we were still getting to know the city. So the era of the pop-ups was really a great way for Alsace to introduce herself to the arts community here and the literary community here, and for her to get a feel for the different neighborhoods and districts and to be able to envision our concept and develop the concept so that it would fit the city, because it's not just a plug-and-play thing.
You don't want to, a plug-and-play, that's a great way to put it. You don't just sort of, we're bringing our bookstore here, folks. You learned about the community. You learned about this city. Were you as taken, Candace, with St. Petersburg as she was?
Absolutely. I mean, the job that I had here, as you said, is I came down here to sell vegetable seeds. And so I was traveling all over Florida all week, and every time I'd come back to St. Pete, I was more convinced that it was just the greatest city in the state. You know, it was where I wanted to be. I love being close to the Gulf. I love the arts community here. I love the diversity of the community here. And it felt at that time, I mean, it's not so long ago, but, you know, I could feel the city growing in a way where I felt like we could still find our place in it. And so it felt like the timing was going to be right for what we wanted to do. And there's a lot of other like-minded small businesses here that were very inspiring and very welcoming. St. Pete has been so incredibly welcoming to us and to the bookstore. And that's something that we've not taken for granted.
Well, it's that whole, as I was saying, that whole ships that pass in the night thing with Haslam's, because even though a great amount of their sales was like used books, mm-hmm. it was a sort of an institution where people would just go, mm-hmm. what's new at Haslam's? And the niche was filled in tiny amount of time. I haven't spoken to Ray in a little while, and I'm not really sure where they are with their whole thing. But, you know, of course, we wish them all the best.
Mm-hmm.
Let me rephrase this a second. The location that you found, I don't remember what it was before you found it. What was that?
So it was a hair salon. Salon B is a hair salon that was in our particular spot,
yeah.
and where Black Crow Coffee is next door to us.
So Dina and Black Crow were there before you moved in?
Mm-hmm. They were.
Okay.
And before them, it was the print shop, Calusa Press.
Calusa Press. And that's our landlord.
Oh, yeah. They still own it.
They own the building.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And you have the opera on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
When you finally got boots on the ground, here we are in brick and mortar, it's happening. How much like the business plan and or your expectations was it? What kind of learning curve was involved?
Well, you know, 3 months into it, it was the
COVID.
That's a big ass learning curve.
So,
yeah, okay.
I mean, yeah. but the first 3 months were pretty much what we expected, what we planned for,
yeah.
what we thought it would be. And then it was like, oh my goodness, we have to close and figure something out immediately.
And you did, though. You stayed alive. As we said, you deliver books. You do a lot of like ordering online and getting stuff to mm-hmm. people.
I mean,
let's talk about the hallmarks of an independent bookstore. I know you and I have talked about this before. What makes it, you know, different from the mall store, the big chain stores? We don't call them mall stores. There aren't really mm-hmm. any malls anymore. But or ordering from Amazon. Let's talk about the advantages mm-hmm. of this kind of bookstore.
Well, the first thing I would say is our booksellers, because they are incredibly passionate and dedicated about their job and about their customers
yeah.
and getting to know them so that they can recommend the best books for them. They're just so excited about literature and reading. And I've never found that outside of an independent bookstore.
Do you think that everybody who works with you, all your booksellers, they know where everything is in the store?
Mm-hmm.
You
yes.
know, where's that Peter Kageyama book I'm looking right. for? Oh, it's right over here.
Exactly.
That kind of thing. So that's good. The personal touch we've talked about.
The personal touch, yeah.
And also, with regard to maybe, I'm guessing, regular customers,
mm-hmm.
what's the kind of thing that she likes? He's going to ask me about this. That's the kind of thing that takes a little time to develop,
mm-hmm.
I would imagine. But that's kind of what's happening now.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the relationships with the customers. Also, I think a hallmark of independent bookstores is community relationships. That's something that sets us apart from chains or internet retailers is, you know, that we recognize that we thrive by making connections with other organizations, you know, whether it's Studio at 620 or the African American Heritage Association, or I don't know, Al Sace can help me add to the list. But, you know, so we make these relationships
yeah.
and I think all the independent businesses understand that, you know, that will elevate all of us and we all thrive within those networks. So That's a really big part of it.
Author events. I mean, this is something yeah. that I remember, Elsie, you talking to me about when you got, I don't think I'd met you quite yet, but mm-hmm. when I'm talking to her first about what you wanted to do mm-hmm. using Malaprops as a model,
mm-hmm.
you know, and a lot of that had to do with author events, with signing mm-hmm. events and talks and things like that. And I remember thinking in the beginning, oh, they're getting off to a little bumpy start here, but now your calendar is packed.
It is.
You know, I write books and I can't even get in there anymore. You're always
come
so
on.
Busy. Yeah, well, that was a joke. I was a little needle there, but.
And where is book four?
Maybe a year off.
Excellent.
We'll talk right. about
excellent,
it.
Yeah.
How's book three doing, by
very
the way?
Very well.
Great.
Really?
I mean, all of them, especially at the holidays. Excellent.
I'm not cutting this part out, by the way.
I don't want you to. I want to hear more.
We're referring
about
to Bill DeYoung's Vintage St. Pete, volumes 1, 2, 3.
Available at Tom Books. So the thing is that it becomes, there's a circuit, and these are obviously not just local authors, but these publishers. Publishers get to know who you are. They get to see the numbers that you're doing, and they send their people to you. Am I correct?
That's right.
Is that the kind of thing that happens? Mm-hmm. What do you see? We talked about the possibility of expansion, and you hemmed and you hawed, but what do you see in the future for Tombolo?
Oh, well, in terms of author events, what we're doing now when we can't fit the entire crowd in the store.
Yeah.
We sometimes have the event in our courtyard.
I've done one or two of those. Uh-huh. Sure. Yeah.
We sometimes go across the street to Coastal Creative.
Yeah.
Very convenient and great to work with. We've got an event coming up at two events coming up at Allendale Church soon.
What kind of author events?
Author events, wow. Yeah. So if we know ahead of time that we want to do this partnership or we are going to definitely need more space.
Yeah.
We're going to other spots. So that's our like immediate expansion plan.
Could always go up.
Expanding our network.
At a second floor or something, you know? I don't know.
Perhaps.
One of the things, Candace, I remember talking with you about this specifically. I think I'll say you might have been out that day, was, and I don't know, we're not going to criticize the city here, folks, because we don't like to do that. But the Sunrunner took up so much of your parking. Mm. I used to pull up right in front of the store.
We do lament the parking, the loss of parking.
Yeah,
sure. I mean, that curb and that curbside parking was, you know, a big part of our curbside pickup routine during
the
bad old days of COVID. But, you know, I mean, the Sunrunner, the PSTA has been great about doing everything for us that they can. And it's, ultimately, this is part of being in a growing city. I call these are big city problems. and it's part of, you know, and we've embraced it as much as we can in terms of, you know, people are getting on and off the Sunrunner. They come by particularly on big festival weekends and things.
This
and
is
so,
what you and I were talking about when the Sunrunner was about, when they were still building it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping that people are going to get off the bus here and buy some books.
Right. And a system like that takes time to develop. So, you know, we just kind of keep looking down the road at what it can be. And that's good for us.
Given any thought to a second location, is that on the wish list somewhere, maybe? Another part of town? Let's do another one.
It's not something we'd rule out, but it's not something that we have any plans for right now.
You're not still selling seeds? This is what you do now.
No, I'm now a full-time independent bookseller.
Because I see you in there more than I see her, which is, and I see you all the time too.
Yeah.
I guess I'm in there a lot.
Yeah.
I'd look to see, see if my books are moving.
Have you seen your book on the bestseller table?
Do that. So we're here with Alsace Wallentine. Wallentine?
Wallentine.
Yeah. It's like Valentine's Day, but Wallentine. Alsace Wallentine and Candace Anderson. And I didn't call you Candace Johnson. You notice I looked down at the paper there. I told you this was going to be. You know, freewheeling and candid and casual. And, you know, did I lie? No, I didn't. Tombolo Books. Tombolo means a little narrow spit of land that connects an island to the mainland. Mm-hmm. Why did you call it that?
Do you want to take that one?
Sure. You want to take that one?
All right.
I've got so many spiels.
I can look it up and write it down.
We did it. You know, again, just referring to us relocating here from the mountains of North Carolina. You know, we started brainstorming names that would, you know, create a sense of place for the bookstore. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, you guys, we went through so many names. Naming a business has got to be like naming a baby. You're like, I've got to live with this forever. Mm-hmm. And so we eventually started looking at words about coastal geography.
Oh.
And that one just, it was, you know, the stereotypical light bulb moment. As soon as we came across it, we just loved everything about it. We loved the metaphor of connection.
Connecting to the mainland.
Sure.
I like that.
Bringing people out of isolation, which we really feel like is an important part of literature. I literally like the shape of the word. I was like, this is just a great, fun
word.
It's
very round, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah. I get it.
So, you know, I mean, it just fit. We continue to like it, which is good.
It was a light bulb sort of moment.
Yeah.
And we had gone through so many names for a year of just picking them, throwing them out.
Yeah.
It is tombolobooks.com. That's TOMBOLO.com. Tombolobooks.com. Thank you. I was so proud of myself for spelling the word.
Nailed it.
TomBellowBooks.com, and you can get pretty much anything and everything there within the realm of what's legal. And so I'm trying to make them laugh. Guys, thanks so much for being here in here today, Alcice and Candace. And we wish you continued success,
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you. Same to you.
And we'll see you one of these days, if not sooner.
This was very fun. Thank you.